Hello, everybody. I'd like to continue our Revelation study, our study entitled Then Shall the End Come. We've been in it since November, and we started with the book of Daniel, and we went to Matthew 24 as well. Daniel gave us the Old Testament prophecies of those details of when the end shall come. Jesus did as well in Matthew 24, and we went through Matthew 24 as well. Then we went into the book of Revelation, and we're presently in Revelation chapter 6 in our series of studies on Then Shall the End Come. However, I will admit, after doing these studies for 40 years, there are some surprises in our study this time. The subtitle for the study is Parallels Between Conditions in the World That We See and What the Scriptures Have Prophesied. And so just before we go into the seal judgments today, I would like us to recall from Matthew 24 some of the things that Jesus said we can look forward to recognizing as conditions on the earth. He actually blocks out these conditions on the earth and labels them the beginning of sorrows. One of the things that we did several weeks ago when we studied Matthew 24 is we ask the audience to look at the descriptions of the conditions of the earth and to check off or X out conditions that they recognized were on a scale like no other time in history. You see, if it's not on a grand scale, then the condition might just be a continuation of those conditions that the earth has always seen. Jesus said, for example, at the end of time, you'll see wars and rumors of wars. Well, that's been true of the entire history of the human race. What makes it a sign at the end of time? And it is simply that it is on a scale like the human race has never seen before. So with that definition, we asked the audience that night to identify what conditions may have escalated to that scale and may have actually either been fulfilled or are presently being fulfilled. And almost to a person, everyone checked off all but one. The one that people felt was not quite on that scale was pestilence. Famine, we talked about the famines around the earth. Earthquakes, last week there was a 7 on the Richter scale in Utah. So earthquakes in strange and various places where they have not occurred before. So we looked at those things, but when we got to pestilence, which is in the Greek, loimos is the word for disease. It's the word for some kind of a condition that spreads around the world on a scale of end times. And so certainly at this point, as I mentioned earlier, this is a first for me that, A, we are recording this without an audience present today. And obviously that is because of a pestilence that is afflicting the world. So just something for us to think about as we consider the conditions of the world and the conditions that Jesus laid out in Matthew 24 at the end of time. Let me just recap those quickly here. Jesus said 10 things. In the midst of worldwide apocalyptic level chaos, many will claim to be Christ returned and lead many astray. That's one of the conditions Jesus said will take place at the end of time. Now, when these false Christs come out of the woodwork and try to proclaim that they are Jesus returned, this is not a case of the blind leading the blind. This is actually more a case of the wolf leading the sheep. Number two, Jesus said there'll be a condition of worldwide hate that leads to betrayal and warmongering. Number three, he said there'll be a condition of worldwide hatred, and this hatred will be directed toward Christians, even to the point of executing Christians for their views. Number four, there will be a condition of iniquity on a scale around the earth equal to or worse than the days of Noah, when God literally expunged all sin from the earth with water. Number five, the condition of a soaring spirit of self-gratification that nearly extinguishes love for others. Number six, the rebuilding of a temple in Jerusalem as a substitute for God in the temple of our lives. There is no temple there presently, but Jesus identified it as one of the things that will happen at the end of time. But as far as a condition that comes out of that, Israel will try to return to Old Testament worship of God through the law of Moses. God the Father will cry out from heaven, "The temple was only a model and a symbol of my Son. The lamb for the atonement of your sin was a symbol of my Son." And while Israel will joyfully build a temple and joyfully return to Old Testament Mosaic worship of God, God will ache in his heart for those people to come to know his Son Jesus Christ, who makes our bodies a temple and a dwelling place for his Spirit. Number seven, the arrival of the Antichrist. That is a condition that will take place on earth in the sense that he will set up a political entity on earth, a conglomeration of nations that are his devoted followers, and they will have leaders above those nations that will submit to this Antichrist. And the Antichrist will represent the number two person of the unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And I'm going to mention in a little bit that the Antichrist and the false prophet are described in great detail in Revelation 13. Number eight, Jesus said there will be a specific world hatred and even the attempted genocide by the Antichrist of the Jewish people. And I know Hitler tried to do that in the 40s, and here we go again. But there's good news for Israel at the end of time. In the tribulation period, God will remove the scales from their eyes and the wax from their ears, and most importantly, the stone from their heart. And they will be able to hear the message of Jesus as the Son of God, as their Messiah. They will be pierced in their heart for rejecting him. They will break down and humble themselves and call out to Jesus, call out to God through his Son Jesus, and they will return to God through his Son Jesus, and they will become a part of the bride of Christ. What a happy day that will be, but it will come through a very harsh time in the tribulation period. Number nine, there will be a blasphemous rallying of the world against God, of the world against Jesus, and of the world against Christians. The Antichrist will be the leader of that movement. And number 10, the last condition described by Jesus in Matthew 24 at the end of time, is the starving and beheading of anyone who does not take the 666 mark of the Antichrist. Now, those are conditions that Jesus said we will see on the earth at the end of time. We come now to Revelation chapter 6, where we begin to see judgment from heaven, judgment from God on the wickedness of the earth. I would remind everybody that the 7-year tribulation period has two purposes. The first is that 7-year remainder of the 490 years God pledged to Israel for the completion of sin in their lives as a nation and as individuals, for everlasting righteousness to come into them. And of course, as we've said, that righteousness can only come through Jesus Christ. So at some point, God will initiate the 7 remaining years of that 490-year period. We say 490-year period and 7 remaining because from the time indicated in the book of Daniel to the coming of Messiah was 483 years. So the tribulation period is first and foremost a period of revival and reunion of the Jewish people to God through Jesus Christ. But secondly, the 7-year tribulation period is a period of judgment on the wickedness of man on earth. Now, there are two classes of people on the earth who will suffer at the hands of God's judgment. The first class are those people who are utterly given over to sin, and they are described in Romans 1, for example, where they are past feeling, they know God, they know the truth of God, they deliberately reject it, but worse than that, they replace it with their own truth. They replace themselves, insert themselves, and replace God. They elevate themselves to godhood. They are the center of their own universe. They become the center of their own life. These people will reject God and His truth and substitute it for their own God and their own truth. And this is the first class of people who, despite the chaos of the world at the end of time, they will not turn to God. The second class, though, is those who will suffer collateral damage as a result of the judgment on the wicked. I'd like us to look in Revelation chapter 6 now at the 6 seal judgments, and they describe conditions on the earth during the 7-year tribulation as well. Number 1. We see the mention of a white horse in Revelation 6. And on this horse is a bow king conqueror. He may represent one who will appear good, but then conquer many indirectly. He may appear good to everyone, but subtly find a way to exercise a conquering control over the people of the world. Number 2, there is the second seal, is the judgment of a red horse with a sword-bearing conqueror on it. This would indicate not so much the conqueror on the white horse who has a bow. You know, the weapon of a bow in wartime was a weapon from behind the lines, quite a ways behind the lines. They would launch their arrows from the safety of a fort or the safety of a, a place to the rear of the battlefield. Not so with the people who had the sword. This second horse, the red horse, has a conqueror on it who has a sword, which would imply not like the bow conqueror, but would imply a conqueror who goes directly into battle. And I want you to see there in Revelation 6 that the red horse conqueror may represent one who will appear fierce and actually conquer through death, will actually forcefully conquer through death. Condition number three, judgment number three, is a black horse. And the rider on this horse is a curious rider. He does not have a bow. He does not have a sword. He has a set of scales. This rider represents a curse on the earth in the tribulation period of worldwide restriction or scarcity of food, where, as it's mentioned here in the opening of that seal, where one would pay an entire day's wage for one meal of wheat bread or three meals of barley. That's how destitute things will be when the black horse rider is unleashed on the earth. The prohibition on the black horse rider is found also, though, in Revelation 6. He does not wield that plight on the food of the earth randomly and indiscriminately. He doesn't wield it universally either. Listen to this. The black horse rider is prohibited from hurting olive trees and grapevines. That may be part of God's protection of the Jews. Remember, we said there are two aspects of the seven-year tribulation period. The first being those seven wonderful years where Israel comes to Christ, and well, they are on the earth at the same time as the Antichrist. And Revelation 12 shows us that the Antichrist actually tries to kill all of the Jews. But they flee to the wilderness in the southeast of Israel, and there God hides and protects them from the Antichrist. And so it's possible that the black horse rider is not allowed to touch the olive trees or the grapevines because God may use that to provide for his people during these 7 years while they're in the southern part of Israel in the wilderness. The last horse judgment is there in chapter 6 where it describes a pale horse. And on this horse, the rider's name is Death. It's just kind of a gross coincidence that Death does leave a person very, very pale. This horse rider will have the judgment in his hand on 25% of all the people of earth. He will bring death to 25% of the population of the earth, either through the sword, through hunger, through natural death, or death by beast. It's all described right there in the seal judgments of Revelation 6. Added to his judgment is the description that after he passes through and claims the lives of people, it says hell follows him. The fifth seal is not so much a specific individual judgment. It's actually a judgment of promise to the saints who have been slain by evil people over the centuries and those being slain during the tribulation period. They cry out in this passage to God, how long? How long before you avenge our death, our blood, on those wicked ones? The fifth seal judgment is a promise of just retribution on those on the earth who have slain Christians. The cause for executing Christians is given there as well, and it is their stand on the Bible as absolute truth and their testimony of devotion to Jesus Christ. Let me just make this very clear. If there's anyone out there who finds themselves in the 7-year tribulation period, please know that this will be a terrible time of persecution on Christians. If you stand for the fundamental truth of Scripture in that time, if you will not swerve from it, if they cannot brainwash you and move you from the teachings of Scripture, if you stand in your devotion to Jesus Christ at that time, it will likely cost you your life, but it will give you in exchange a robe of white, that passage there says. And God, in the fifth seal judgment, reminds us that he will judge those on the earth who have taken the life of his servants for their devotion to Christ. Revelation 13 and verses 1 to 10 kind of correlates to this judgment. It describes in detail the rise of a collective group of nations under one ruler. He is a puppet of the great dragon Satan, and that's mentioned in Revelation 13 as well. During the tribulation, the Antichrist is the world's leading blasphemer against God and opposes everything that pertains to God, especially his followers. As Hitler did to the Jews in Germany, the Antichrist will blame Christians for the woes of the earth. He will turn public opinion against Christians. He will accuse them of being haters filled with hate speech. Christianity will be portrayed not as a protected religious point of view like other religions enjoy. And we're seeing that today. It seems that every religion in the world is elevated and protected in our culture here in America today, with the exception of the views of Christians. But this will be pronounced in the tribulation period, and the Antichrist will be the leader of this persecution. Christians will be portrayed as racist, sexist, and homophobic. Their very existence will be portrayed by the Antichrist as vermin that need to be exterminated from society. The Antichrist will implement a method of identifying true Christians, and this method will be foolproof. He will require all his followers to be marked with his prefix, 666. The number won't be on a card that can be faked or forged. It will be like when Hitler tattooed ID numbers on Jews. It will be on the right hand or the forehead. While the Antichrist will use the number to root out Christians, recipients of that number will use it to buy or sell, which begs the question, are we seeing any conditions in the world today that might be a precursor to a day when all people will buy or sell by beginning with an identification in their hand or their forehead? Here's a curious thing that I've begun to see that I never thought I would see. You know, I've been teaching the conditions of the world as opposed to what the end times prophecies say now for 40 years. I started in 1980. But the idea, and I have to tell you that the idea in 1980 of biometric identification, the idea that people would accept some kind of a mark either on or in their hand and I recall some years ago thinking, well, no, nobody's going to accept a mark in their forehead. And your hand is, everybody sees your hand. Your clothing covers everything, but your hand is out there. Who would accept them? And I remember years ago saying, look at the tattooing craze. Maybe it wouldn't be so strange now to see people with a tattoo on their hand or on their forehead, because in those days, there was no concept that I could imagine where society would move to biometric identification. Oh my goodness, today it is here. And I have to confess, I've caved in. On my cell phone, I hold my phone up in front of my eyes, in front of my face, in front of my forehead. And my phone will measure all the dimensions of my face, and I will see a check mark appear, and my phone will let me into my phone based on that biometric scan of my face. Biometric identification is not as alarming today. Radio frequency ID, RFID chips are everywhere now. They are in people's credit cards. They are in virtually every product in stores, whether they be food, clothing, all packaging of products and inventories is, we're very close to it all being located, identified with an RFID chip, patch. Even in under the skin of our pets, where they say that the chip is similar to a grain of rice. While we've not yet seen a universal insertion of RFID rice-like chips in the top of people's right hand, we are seeing widespread retinal scanning or facial ID as a foolproof ID. Recently, I was in a clothing store. My wife was shopping and I was distracted. And I looked around and I saw a young man with a device in his hand waving it, just going up one aisle and down another of racks of clothing. And he was just waving this thing over the top of these racks. And I started thinking, is he taking inventory? And if so, is it possible that he has an RFID reader and every garment on those racks has an RFID chip sewed into it? So as he got closer and closer to me, I looked at him and I said, RFID? He looked at me with astonishment and he said, yes, but how did you know that? Every piece of clothing, every package of food. Folks, it's important for us to do these studies every year or two because of the things that keep changing and appear to keep fulfilling. The number 666 represents the unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, as we see in Revelation 13. But Satan knows he cannot overthrow the holy trinity of 777, So perhaps that's the significance of 666. Curiously, and this is just another piece of interesting trivia, we claim that according to Daniel, the Antichrist will rise to the top of what we call the renewed or revived Roman Empire, which coincidentally the European Union is a conglomeration of those old Roman conquests. And also, interestingly, the number 666 in Roman numerals. You know that D is the letter for 500. C is the letter for 100, meaning 600. L is the number for 50. And X is the number for 10. There's 60. V is the number for 5, and the letter for 5, and I is the letter for 1. Interestingly, there's a descending value in the Roman letters for 666. Just a piece of trivia there. If Satan believed he could overthrow God, he would not choose 666. If he believed he could actually overthrow God, he probably would have gone with 888. In Revelation 14, there's a stern warning not to take the mark of the Antichrist, as well as a description of the eternal consequences. In that same passage, it promises, though, that those who die in the Lord are blessed. Well, that's the fifth seal. At the conclusion of that description, the saints are killed for abiding by the scriptures and maintaining their devotion to Christ, but they are rewarded with the clean white robes of righteousness, and they are encouraged there to be patient until God brings all of us together as one. The sixth seal is described in spectacular ways. The earth comes under judgment. A great earthquake is described. Ash blackens out the sun during the day. And at night, when you look at the moon through pollution in the air, it gives the moon a blood red appearance. And that is the description with the sixth judgment seal, the great earthquake, ash blackening out the sun during the day and making the moon look red at night. And then there's a description of by John of what appears to be the stars falling from the heaven. Well, we've seen similar descriptions occur. Even in our lifetime, we've seen meteor showers fly by the earth. I recall one night counting several hundred with my youngest son. It was a spectacle to see them swoop across the sky, left to right, right to left, as that shower passed by the earth. But in this particular judgment, some of them will actually hit the earth. The people of the earth do not fall to their knees in repentance, Revelation 6 says. Instead, they hide wherever they can, but not from the harm of cataclysmic events, that the Bible says they are hiding from what they recognize is the great wrath of God. And then lastly, the seventh seal is not found in Revelation 6. You have to actually go over to Revelation 8 to pick up the end of the seal judgments. The seventh seal, when it is opened, is not so much an individual specific judgment. The seventh seal opens the trumpet judgments. which we will look at in our next study. May God bless you with this information and give you comfort and peace as we see these days and the days ahead. God bless.